I'm going to ask you, how many of you have at least more, probably five or more Bibles in your home? Do you know there's some that don't have any? I actually had the opportunity to go to Russia, as you know. And while there, I passed out Bibles. You should have seen how hungry they were to receive a Bible. Do you know what was difficult was when they kept showing up and we didn't have any more Bibles to give them. That was tough. But still there, they were. One Bible, one Bible. We're so blessed to have so many copies of God's Word. So blessed. But I thought that today I'd like to talk about the Bible because there's such an attack on the Bible today. More than ever. The devil's relentless. He hates God's Word. He's starting from the very beginning. Have God said, questioning God's Word. And has been so down through the centuries. Have done everything they tried to destroy God's Word. Tried to burn it. Tried to eliminate it. But God's Word is still here. It's alive. Can't be destroyed. The grass withers, the flower fades, but God's Word's everlasting. Never changes. It has transforming power. And you'll know it when you read it. You can feel it speak to your heart, the transforming power. We're going to talk about all that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful opportunity to talk about you. Talk about your word. So blessed to have your word. So privileged. Thank you for giving it to us. Help us to make sure others have a copy of it too. In Jesus' name we pray. Whenever you're in trouble or trouble comes, and trouble will come. If you've never been in trouble, well, I'd like to see you after church. We have lots of places we can turn to, but the first option should always be the Bible. I have written out the word Bible using the letters Bible. Best instructions before leaving Earth. How's that? Using the letters. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. We do that every year at Vacation Bible School. Kids sing it. That's the book for me. Not only is it the book for children, it's the book for you and me. It is the book for you and me. It's more than just a book. And I'm going to talk about it. It's not an ordinary book. It is a revelation of who God is. You see, God wants you to know what he's like, who he is, what he's like. Someday we'll meet him face to face. Can you imagine? From the very beginning of the Bible to the very end, our Lord demonstrates his love for his people and his concern for them. Through the Bible, we find amazing promises, and we know that he has the power to fulfill those promises. We have help for almost every circumstance of life can be found in the Scriptures. So I want to talk about the purpose of the Bible. God's given his written word, and here are some reasons why. I already talked about one. To reveal the one true God. What's God like? Ever wonder what he's like? Well, we're made in his likeness. We're made in his likeness. He has a face, he has hands, he has feet. We're made in his likeness. If we wouldn't have the revelation of the Word of God, we would have a very limited knowledge of him. But it's through his word that we learn about him. His character. His attributes. His power. You know, I was talking to one of the church members the other night about God's power with the thunder and lightning. How many of you are like me when there's a thunderstorm, you don't run from it, you actually run out on the porch and watch it? Huh? Are you crazy? No, that's what I do. I go out the porch and watch the thunder and lightning and the banging and they carry on, because you know what it tells me? The power of God's at work. Wow. That's just a small portion of his power. Just small. Very small. I've told you before, if there was probably some place in history, if I could get in a time capsule and go, it would be at the time of creation. I would have loved to see creation. God speaking and just happening. Wow. That's amazing to me. I've always been fascinated by the universe. And fascinated by archaeology, studying the past so that we don't continue to make the same mistakes. We need to learn from the past so we don't continue to make the same mistakes. Well, the Bible leads us to salvation. It reveals our sinful nature and our condition and God's plan to rescue us. You see, God had a plan all the way back in Genesis. He already had a plan. You see, the disobedience didn't catch God by surprise. See, God knew. You see, God made man a free will agent, which means he has a choice. Did you know he gave the angels the same ability to choose as well? God could have created objects to worship him that they would have had to worship him. Instead, he gave them all a choice. Nobody's going to be in heaven that don't want to be there. Aren't you glad today you're in this place of worship because you chose, you wanted to be here? Listen to one of our minister friends yesterday. There are some things I certainly could identify with. He was raised in a Christian home like me. And a lot of times, when it was time to go to church as children, we weren't really just that excited about going to church. And he related to that. And there was a time in my life when I thought that maybe I really don't need church. Well, I didn't realize how fast my life went the wrong direction when I didn't go to church, because I finally had an opportunity to make that decision myself. And what a poor choice I made. You see, my parents loved me. They wanted me to succeed in life. And that's why they took me to church. They wanted me to succeed as well. Didn't always listen to them. Didn't always take their advice. But I'm so grateful today that I'm here because I've chosen to be here. And when I'm not here, I miss it. I miss the fellowship. I miss ministering God's word. I just love God's word. And the more I study the word, the more I realize how stupid I am. There's so much. So much. It's so interesting to me. It's so alive and so real. I tell people, please study God's word, read it, and ask God to make himself real to you. Ask him, oh Lord, I want to feel your presence in my life. Ask him. If there's something in the Bible you read, you don't understand, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Help me, Holy Spirit. I don't quite understand this. And you'll be surprised and amazed at how quickly your understanding will be open. Through the Bible, we understand how to live a godly life, a moral compass. Aren't you glad you have a moral compass in your life? There's a lot of people that don't have a moral compass in their life. I'm glad I have a moral compass. I'm glad that when there's things I do that I shouldn't do, I feel bad about it. That's a moral compass. That's a conscience. It's a God-fearing conscience, and I'm glad I have that. The God-fearing conscience says, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have said that. Your mouth was too sharp. I have to protect a lot of things that sometimes you open your mouth too quick. And your language is too sharp. Be careful, because you can hurt people with your language. You can hurt people with your mouth. Be careful. Be careful how you use your mouth. So we can understand how to live a godly life. It's through the epistles that tells us how to live holy and be obedient, and shows us the character of our Lord. And when we sin, His Word teaches us how we need to seek restoration through repentance. Repentance is being sorry. I'm sorry. Repentance is being sorry for what you did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry I hurt you by what I said. Forgive me. I was angry when I said it. And sometimes I say things when I'm angry that I regret later. I wish I could go back and erase it. But the damage is already done. So we need to know how to serve the Lord, how to minister to one another and share His Word with other people. The Bible certainly is trustworthy. A message given to us by the Almighty. It is the Word of our Creator and our Savior, and we certainly can trust it to be true. And He says in Psalms 119:105, His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Therefore, it always leads us in the right way. He wants us to know how to live, so it brings honor to Him. And we can also benefit by it as well. You see, the Bible is more than just another book because it's timeless. It's timeless. The Word of God is never outdated. Always applicable for any situation. It's infallible. What do we mean by that? It has no errors. Wasn't there other books of the Bible, and I've thought about trying to somehow have some sort of a study, and I don't know how to do that in a worship service, of how we got our Bible. Pastor, you know there's other books that it's not contained in our Bible. Yes, I am aware of that. Yes, there are. And why weren't they put in our Bible? Well, for many reasons, they weren't consistent. They weren't consistent. The Bible is its best own interpreter. In the Old Testament, what was in the Old concealed is in the New revealed. The Bible is its best interpreter. The problem you run into is when we try to interpret it ourselves. And sometimes people misquote Scripture many times. They say money is the root of all evil. Is that right? I missed something, didn't I? I left out a word. What was the word I left out? The love of money. No, not mammon, not money. The love, the desire. When you have that love for that, you'll be doing a lot of crazy, dumb stuff to get it. And that's why Jesus said it's the love, the desire for it. Is what's wrong. He said, I did not come to destroy the Old Testament. I have come to fulfill it. But you know that the New Testament is much harder to live by than the Old. The Old just simply, you know, when you were caught, then you were stoned. If you were caught, you were stoned. Some people weren't caught, but when you were caught, you were stoned. What did Jesus say? If you look after a woman to lust after, you have what? Already committed adultery. Where? In your heart, your mind, your thoughts. You've already committed adultery there. You see how much harder it is in the Old Testament? Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. It starts with your thoughts, your mind. It is a trustworthy guide, adequate for every need. We can depend on it for wise guidance in every circumstance of life. It exposes our sin and our hopeless condition. To Romans 3:23, we all fell short. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone. It warns us of the consequences of sin. So we have lots of warnings in the Bible because of the consequences of sin. Adam and Eve, we know the story, disobeyed God. They were told what they could partake of. They were told what they could not partake of. And the devil knew which one they were told not to partake of. Of course, he deceived Eve and got her to partake of it. And Eve also found her husband and also got him to partake of it. So they all practiced the choices that God gave them. God has unconditional love for us. And his word tells us that. He loved the world. He gave his son so that those who believe can have everlasting life. John 3:16. It tells us how we can be saved from our sins. Sin condemns us. But our Lord doesn't want us to stay in that condition. And so he provided a means for our salvation. Jesus, his son, tells us why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to rescue us from the destruction of sin. He provided a way for forgiveness. The cross, the sacrificial lamb. And that brings me to my next point. Why a virgin birth was necessary. Every person born since Adam has inherited a sin nature, but the only acceptable sacrifice for sins had to be flawless, had to be a perfect lamb. And so that's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because he had to be a perfect lamb. He was without sin. And I know the devil and the world tries to do all kinds of things and make up stories that he had some kind of an illicit affair with Mary Magdalene. That is not true. That's a lie. And you'd be surprised how many church people have accepted that lie. Because they're not studying God's word. They don't know what is true. And why do you suppose they'll be primed for what's coming? The lie. Well, they'll accept it, hook, line, and sinker, because they're ready to accept the lie. Because they don't know what truth is. And some don't care. Some don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to make changes in their life. Every one of us inherited a sin nature except Jesus, who was born of a virgin without an earthly father. He was the perfect Lamb of God. And we were told in the book of Revelation, he carries those scars. Yes, his hands were nailed to the cross. His side was thrust through by a spear, and out came blood and water. His feet were also pierced. His back was flayed. Whipped. He was whipped. And his back shows the scars, and he has every one of those scars. He still has them. Will we see them someday? I'm sure that we will. I'm sure that we will. Explains, the Bible explains why Jesus died on the cross. He came as a sacrificial lamb to bear the sins of the world in his body so we could be forgiven. Wow. He loved me so much. It explains his resurrection. God raised him from the dead to serve as proof that Jesus truly is the Son of God, whose sacrifice was sufficient to pay the sins. The resurrection confirms that the Lord has the power to keep every promise he has ever made. You want to know what kind of body we're going to have in heaven? Just study what Jesus did when he was here after the resurrection. Just read about it. Study it. Look what he did. He walked with those on the road to Emmaus. He walked. He ate. He appeared into a building, into a room that didn't use a door or window. He just went through the wall. He just, phew, and there he was. Gonna have a body just like his. Just like his. Likened and fashioned just like his glorious body. Tells us where Jesus is now. After the resurrection, the Lord ascended to heaven where he's seated at the Father's right hand. And here he intercedes for us. And I think about the time when he was in the garden and Mary wanted to touch him. And what did he say? Touch me not, for I have what? Not yet ascended to the Father. Touch me not. We know in the Old Testament, when the Ark of Covenant was looking like it was going to fall off the cart, a man by the name of Uzziah reached out to touch it so it wouldn't fall off the cart. And what happened to him? Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to the Father. You think that's cruel? We don't understand the holiness of God. Very important. Lots of stories in the scripture, but it's all backed up in the New Testament as Jesus said, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to the Father. There's reasons for everything that happens. God doesn't make mistakes. He fixes mistakes, but he doesn't make them. It reveals where God the Father is. He's still on the throne in heaven, actively reigning over the affairs of man. The Bible explains the person of the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. After the ascension, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to indwell his followers. Remember, he told his disciples, I must go. Why? So that the Holy Spirit can come. I must go. When he comes, he'll lead and direct you and guide you into all truth, is what Jesus told them. The Spirit also seals us. In other words, the sealing has to do with our guarantee of our salvation. That's the sealing part. We fulfill our part of the obligation. God takes care of his. We have eternal life. This isn't iffy. It's a promise that we will have eternal life. God's word tells us how to be wise. Psalms and Proverbs are passages and places that teach us how to handle our responsibilities and our relationships wisely. Especially Proverbs. That's just a down-to-earth book that tells you how to do everyday things. Helps you to take care of everyday things. The Bible teaches us how to endure difficulty and hardship. In Paul's epistles, we learn to respond to trials as the Lord desires. It's interesting when you see Paul's life and all the things he suffered. It offers us encouragement. God's word is an ever-flowing fountain of encouragement for every situation we face. It offers us help and hope. The Bible's a promise book. Every promise of God in his word is backed up by his awesome power. It removes the fear of death. If we are saved by the grace of God, we know that we will immediately join Christ when we die. And there's something that every one of you should have that assurance. Every one of you should have that assurance. Don't live another day without it. Decide today to take care of the business at hand. The business at hand is, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I am a sinner. And I invite you to come and live in my heart. And I want to live for you from this day forward. Are you going to make some more mistakes after you've said that? Absolutely, you are. But you see, God loves you and always loves you. You're a child. You're His. Let me ask you this question. If your child would do anything that you quit loving your child, is that possible? Is it possible for your child to do anything for you as a parent to stop loving them? Is that possible? No. I will always love them. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. He will always love you. Will you disappoint Him sometimes? You hear Him? Yeah, you will. Will you grieve the Holy Spirit sometimes? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. But determine today to live for Him. Determine, I want to live for Him. I want Him to live in my heart and life. And you know what? You won't have to ever worry or fear about tomorrow. You don't need to be afraid about tomorrow. You don't need to be worried about what's going on in the world or the economy. You don't need to be afraid about any of that stuff. Because I can tell you, God is in control. He's in control. Everything else might seem like it's out of control.